Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Sean Austin is a paranormal investigator, demonologist, and medium. And he has a clip here he's going to play for us of an exorcism.
Oh. Hey.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Morning.
Good.
Good morning.
Morning.
So actually, this clip is one of the many clips that I was able to collect from this girl, Abby. She was actually speaking English backwards, and I couldn't understand and decipher some of the things that she was actually saying until I actually recorded it through the phone because she was states away from me, and I put it in reverse, and this clip actually is her speaking English backwards. It's an exorcism.
All right, so first clip is her speaking English backwards. Okay.
And referring to an exorcism, yeah.
All right. Wow.
Happy birthday, Mom? No.
So at the time this is happening, you're not thinking, oh, she's speaking backwards. You're like, what was that?
Hey, hello? Something wrong with this thing?
Yeah, I mean, well, there was many phone calls that I was having, and she was speaking in tongues. She would go into a trance, and all this chitter chatter would start coming through the phone. And I realized I had to document things that would happen to her, because what was so harrowing is that she was pregnant while she was being possessed, and these things were happening.
Uh-huh.
And no one wanted to touch the case with a 10-foot pole because something could happen to the child. But I was emotionally invested to try to help this girl, and she'd be calling all the time, and crazy things would happen that I even experienced myself.
Wow. Like what? What did you experience?
One of the times, you know, she'd be getting choked on the phone. I could hear laughing coming through the phone. I start praying for her over the phone, and all of a sudden I felt burning on my arm, and 13 slashes started to show up on my arm as if a cat had its way, and I do not have a cat, or did not have a cat at the time.
What do they call it? Stigmata, right?
Well, the stigmata would be marks, you know, like, which... something that you know, marks on the, you know, the top of your feet or your wrist, it would be the marks of, you know, of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little different.
Oh man,
I have chills.
So scary.
Was she alone in the house when she was on the phone with you?
She sometimes she'd be alone, and sometimes, you know, her other child that was 3 years old at the time would be with her. One of an insane phone call that I had, one of the many phone calls, she would go into a trance, and when she went silent, and all of a sudden I hear a 3-year old child in the background saying, "Look, mommy's floating."
Who?
I don't think she's supposed to do that.
Yeah. Unless she's a magician. Or needs Beano.
Right.
Yeah.
If
I mean,
she's,
you know,
a
but
magician,
when you're experiencing,
well, she's rehearsing, honey, for
right.
Her act.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. People pay her big money
That's
to watch
what mommy
this.
Does for work.
Right, right.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
nuts.
There's so much that would take place. You know, just to give you an answer, because I'm actually sensitive to stuff. And, you know, one vision I actually had is that she was in the corner of a room. Her eyes were changing colors, and I was just staring at her. And then I just knew some sort of presence was to the right of me. And it whispered this name in my ear. And it was biting on my earlobe with like sharp teeth. And I never heard this name before. And I actually looked up the name on Google the next day. And this name was some sort of demonic goddess of fertility specifically. I knew that there was no coincidence of that.
Oh, I'm finding a pool full of holy water and jumping in it and
right.
Gargling it.
Exactly.
Ah!
But fertility, huh?
That's
interesting.
Of course, that's what you
yeah.
hear. That's what you pick up on. Do you have that clip turned around, and can we hear what she was actually saying?
This was it corrected. So he sent it to us already facing the correct direction.
Okay.
So if you listen to the, I think the next one says hiss, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a very defining moment for my faith as well, because, you know, in a clip that's after this as well, is that she was, one of the times she would speak like a man, and she would literally say like, "Sean, she's mine." And I had a 6-inch crucifix at the time, and I'm just on a normal phone call with this girl. And I, as soon as I put the cross up to the phone, she hissed at me. And to react to that in that manner, to something of religious significance, and not be able to see me on the phone is something that's hugely substantial to me, considering I had chills, and it was just, I'll never forget that moment ever for the rest of my life.
This isn't FaceTime here. This is just, how would she possibly know you held this up?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, here's, get your question.
Here's the clip.
Is that a hiss?
Well, you know, you gotta know.
So, you know, this is what you do. You have big balls. If I heard that and thought it was a hiss,
right,
you're just gonna hear a click,
right, and someone running.
I don't need this in my life.
Exactly.
I hold up a crucifix, and some devil girl on the other end of the phone goes, right.
I'm like, "Are you choking on a Brazil nut?"
I'm like, "You know what? Click."
Right.
I just, for accurate note taking, was that a hiss?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
I just,
please tell me you're choking on popcorn right now.
Yeah, you know, I totally get it. But you know, it's like a calling to try to help these people, and you feel emotionally
you're a good
invested
man.
To try to help them.
Yeah.
No, and you do whatever you can.
No, we talk to people who are first responders, and all they do is run into. Save people they don't know. So I don't understand because I'm not wired that way, but I do get what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm hands-free.
But I'm just telling you that this stuff creeps me out.
Yeah.
And if I'm on the phone with some devil girl and I hold up a crucifix and she's in another state and then she...
Exactly. I'm changing my number and everything.
I like how many seconds did it take for him to hear that and then to process the question.
It took a while.
Yeah. It was about 8 seconds.
Various scenarios he's going through right now. Choking on popcorn. To drop the phone next to the cat. The kettle on the oven is boiling. A steam pipe broke.
And he's
he
going,
farted.
No,
I don't care.
No,
whatever it took.
No.
Anything but that.
No.
Devil girl, definitely not on the list.
Wait, hiss. Was that a hiss?
Right. Are you by any chance a reptile person?
Broken radiator.
Do you possibly have a Komodo dragon near you?
A Komodo dragon.
See, that would be my reaction, because I'd get any possible scenario that does not involve the devil.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have tacos last night?
Exactly. Right.
Are you holding the phone up to your ass?
Yeah. Did you open something that was vacuum sealed? Whatever it took, I cannot have. No, I'm good.
It's the bus when it deflates a couple of inches
exactly
to get up.
Right. You just get a flat. Please tell me you just got a flat. Right. Did you just sit on a beanbag chair? It has a hole in it.
You know when you twist the cap off of like a new bottle of seltzer
exactly
water?
Exactly, right. Yes. Please tell me you shook the bottle. Whatever it took. Exactly, right. The train just pulled into the station. That's not code.
What was the answer to that question? Do we have that or no?
I just have up to, was that a hiss?
Yeah. What happened?
Well, the next one was part of that same phone call because, she's at the time she's like a 23-year-old girl, and you hear this voice say, "Sean, she's mine."
Oh,
and
that's
was
the clip that's next.
That was you actually hear her speak as if it was a male type voice. It almost sounds like a layered voice, like there's more than one voice over it. And she, you know, or whatever it was saying to me, "Sean, she's mine."
And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the divine power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits that roam throughout the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Okay.
Remember that song, "Girl is mine, mine, girl is mine, mine." Paul McCartney did that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Michael Jackson?
Exactly right, yeah. Okay.
What kept you from saying what when he said, "Sean"? Why didn't you say, "What"?
Yeah.
That's my name to wear it out. What?
It's smart to just sit there like, oh, okay, I don't know what's happening.
Just hang back, see how this develops.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is that, you know, when this was taking place, I was just beginning to read books on demonology. I wasn't versed in the stuff, so I was kind of left alone before I was really, I knew what to do, but I was trying to coach her and what I was being told to kind of help her as I was learning, because, again, no one wanted to touch this case at all, because if something happened to the child, you could be held responsible. But this girl latched on to me. She'd be calling me all the time, you know, with just crazy stuff happening over and over again. And
where but you're kind of like a nuclear physicist that hasn't really got your degree in nuclear physicism, right?
Like apprentice.
It's like it's everything you see in one of these movies where someone does it. It's like, don't open that.
Right.
Oh, God, what could possibly be?
Oh, for God's sake, look what you did.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, for God's sake.
So, you know, you had to be S-ing in your pants during some of this, right?
I had a hist in there, too.
Like, when that thing says Sean, you're like, oh, damn it.
No, it's Rich now. It's Rich.
Yeah, no, there's no Sean here.
There is no Sean here.
I just didn't know what to expect. It kind of was just like hitting me, you know, like spiritual punches, so to speak. But I mean,
but you had to be scared. How old were you when this happened to you? That when the thing said Sean?
Maybe like early 30s, somewhere around that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'd already been in the paranormal. I did have my own experiences for a couple of years of like some creepy stuff, but nothing compared to like a true demonic possession of somebody.
Yeah, when the devil says your name, that's like, all right, this is probably not good.
Yeah.
Speaking English backwards is something I never seen until, you know, I was in a movie, and then you realize it's something real, and then you're getting physically attacked by something over the phone. You know, it's just something that you can't even imagine.
Yeah, I'm shocked you didn't give up on this one.
Seriously.
I hung up. My name. The problem is when a devil says a demon says your name.
It's not
like you could hang up and they don't know.
Exactly,
damn
right.
I didn't have my caller ID.
Yeah, no
they
caller
know
ID.
Where you are.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, once one of them knows who you are, they all know who you are for the rest of your life.
Oh, great. Right. Yeah.
No they question. Tell their friends.
No really? Forgetting.
So, like, you go into a bar and there's some demons in it. It's like, hey, yeah, there's Sean over there.
They'll yell, Sean!
Yeah.
like in Cheers and Norm. Sean!
Yeah.
Yep, there you go.
Isn't that unnerving?
Yep. Doesn't feel good.
I mean, of course. I mean, yeah. I think anyone in their right mind was, you know, I don't think some people would be able to handle that, to say the least. But, again, you know, even my, you know, where I am today and how I approach the paranormal, it's a calling to be dealing with, you know, doing that specific work to try to help people dealing with the taboo corner of the paranormal. I mean, there's a lot of paranormal investigators that don't deal with demonic hauntings that are genuine. You know, they'll run for the hills or they'll pass it off to somebody because it's a unique, complicated situation.
It's a different level and things could get stuck to you. And the next thing you know,
you gotta call somebody else.
Yeah. What's this
Absolutely.
Next
and, you know, and I was, throughout these years, I was mentored by, a retired NYPD sergeant that was the inspiration for the movie Deliver Us from Evil. It came out in 2014 with Eric Bana, Ralph Sarchi. And like, you know, I was end up being taught in demonology, you know, with him throughout the years after.
Wait, who is that?
You know, his name is Ralph Sarchi. He was a retired NYPD sergeant. And the movie Deliver Us from Evil, Eric Bana, he was a cop. He had actually worked with Ed and Lorraine Warren in the beginning and then actually was mentored by Bishop McKenna and Father Malachi Martin, which are probably the most respected exorcists of our time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is this Ralph Sarchi still alive?
Yes.
Just said yes.
Wow.
Just for effect.
So you have quite a background in this.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I don't want to know what the end result was with this girl yet, but what is this next clip we're going to play?
The next clip is actually, it's another sentence of her speaking backwards. And you can hear her say she needs an exorcism and they know, as if some sort of, you know, this entity was having conversations through her, but, you know, referencing stuff and having, you know, elements that they were referring to.
So they're not talking to you.
Knowledge.
The demon or whatever is not talking to you. It's having a conversation through her, but saying, yeah, the dude on the phone knows.
Yeah, yeah. Basically.
You being the dude. Right?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the clip. Okay, wait, what?
Beep, bap, 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 bap. I think she's scatting. Beep, bap, 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 scat, scat.
Hit you fast.
It's Demon AJ.
Right. Yeah, they called it Monday.
Cheeseburger for now for what just happened.
Exactly, right.
Cheeseburger.
Maybe all this time is speaking in tongues.
Rather. Yeah. Yeah. What? So if we turn that around, is that going to be something different or is that turned around?
Well, that's after I put it in reverse because I couldn't understand what she was saying. Some of it sounded like a different language, but some of it was different. And then I realized that some of it was reversed English. And just like an exorcism and this one. And if you listen, it's like, that's why it sounds a little strange because it's in reverse, but you can hear the syllables of like, you know, she needs an exorcism, but they know type of deal. So it sounds a little strange, but you know, it's just the things that I would start to record, all these little collected pieces of evidence that just linked towards what was happening or what would happen.
Phil, can you hear that? Like what he's saying?
It's a little difficult because, as he mentioned, it sounds like there's other sounds in between some of the words, but the manner of speaking is very strange. It's not all
because
like,
it's backwards,
right?
All right.
Yeah. So it's a little broken up, and then there's other sort of syllables and words in there too. But yes, you can hear it if you listen really hard.
All right. So it's she needs an exorcism, and they know.
That's what I perceive.
All right. Try that again.
Okay.
Wow. I can hear that.
I can hear that.
Yep.
It's like she's playing with her mouth as she's saying it.
There's that one.
She needs an exorcism.
In the water.
I think what was actually happening in some of these bits too, and what was happening over the phone is that in some of the audio clips that I do have is that when she was speaking in tongue, it's like you can hear it was coming through her vocal cords, but it wasn't her. It was like speaking through her throat, so to speak. It was strange. You could hear like her vocal tone kind of come through, but like this other whispering voice was like coming through her throat, and you'd hear little tones of her voice like because it was using her throat.
Like Stevie Nicks.
Was there any thought that she was impregnated by?
Right.
Something, you know, like the baby was doing this?
Well, it wasn't like I was, you know, she was going to give birth to a demon baby. It was more like they wanted the baby because this girl, she was bullied in high school and her aunt was heavily into the occult and she was isolated. She's by herself and she felt like she could do these spells to become popular and to not have these issues that she was having in an impressionable stage in her life as a, you know, a teenager. And this is what invited the evil in that started it throughout the years and leading to when she had her second child. And that's when all hell broke loose. I mean, you know, she was, you know, going into a trance and carving an upside down cross on her pregnant belly with a screwdriver and not remember doing it.
Is there a movie or a book made about this story?
So the documentary that we just released regarding the story, it's called Devil Down South. And a buddy of mine started a new platform called ScareNetwork.tv.
Oh, wow.
And you can stream it from the website online, or you can download the free app. We have it on Fire Stick and Apple. You can download for free and then stream it from there. It tells the story of everything that has happened. And, you know, it's a really harrowing story.
I got to
watch. It's terrifying, but...
Oh, it is. Just these clips are...
Oh, yeah, man.
Freaking me out.
Yeah.
And I'm here.
But it's important to let people know, you know, even if it sways one person from messing around with, you know, the dark arts, you know, or many people.
Leave it to the professionals like the Ghostbusters. Happening in India, federal transportation minister... there claims that he's going to be introducing a law that will replace the sound of vehicle horns and the sound of sirens with musical instruments.
Oh, boy.
He finds that honking horns are too irritating and the sirens are too scary.
Well, they're trying to get to someplace in a hurry.
So this is... So he's going to replace the horns with musical instruments from India, Indian musical instruments.
Yes.
And then he wants to replace the emergency vehicle sirens with the tune from their public radio broadcaster, All India Radio. So this is the song.
Oh, Yeah, this says emergency, get out of the way.
So this is what the sirens would be?
Yeah.
I don't think it has the same effect.
No, it does not. I'm thinking... Care dance? Yeah. Meanwhile, someone's house is burning, they're all dancing. And now here's another one of my favorites. Hope it's one of yours.
Yeah, that would not give me any urgency to like, oh, I got to get out of the way.
I'd be like, oh, my radio's really loud.
Have you looked up or have seen any of the problems that that country's facing?
Seriously.
Who the hell wakes up and says, you know what I'm going to work on
priority.
Today?
We got to address this whole issue here.
I got to tell you something we need to work on.
Yeah.
This is a guy who, like AJ, lives near the fire department.
I was going to say, yes, exactly.
He's desensitized.
Right.
No, he's irritated by the sound of sirens. He's like, this is what I'm going to fix.
Yeah. I gotta,
right now.
I must focus on this one.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. Wow. Kind of got a lot more going on.
There's a long list of problems in India, right. And I don't think horns or sirens top of the list or even close.
That's someone's around like number 50.
1,000.
Right?
50,000. They have a lot of problems with pollution there.
Right.
Oh, my God.
The whole COVID thing's really bad right now.
COVID ripped through that place.
Yeah.
I think it's still real bad.
Yeah, go with the eye on the prize right now.
How much money, salaries people make.
Right, right. Overpopulation.
However, that food is amazing.
Oh, food's great. Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of when I heard that sound, by the way.
Eating?
Yeah. It's like, oh, man.
Tandoori chicken?
Yes.
Nice. The shrimp's good, too.
I pictured like a store selling carpets.
Right.
And I'm sitting next door on outside on a table eating some...
At a cafe, right?
Indian food.
Nice.
Yeah. See, I would be sitting there saying, oh, wow, there goes an ambulance.
We're like, ooh, this is really hot. Hot, hot, hot. Not occurring, this one.
All right. All right, I love this story. Adorable four-year-old. See, I don't even have to get to the end.
Adorable adorable.
That's like an adorable kid.
Somebody rings. All right, okay.
Adorable four-year-old calls police and offers to show them his toys.
Yeah, adorable. Okay.
Yeah, it's funny. I was scrolling through. I saw this headline yesterday. I'm like, oh, this is AJ.
My face popped right up, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. A little thought balloon. Bloop. Yep.
Yeah. I heard the music. Na-na-na-na. All right, so this is a clip that's going viral out of New Zealand. A four-year-old boy calling police emergency number because he wanted to show an officer some of his toys. And in the end, the officer did show up for a fun photo opportunity and to see the kids' toys.
Really?
Here's the conversation.
Police, where is the emergency?
Hi.
Hello.
Nice lady.
Yes, what's going on?
Can I tell you something?
You can tell me something.
I got some toys for you.
You got some toys for me?
Hold on. Amazing. How does she know right from the beginning that this is playtime?
Yeah.
When a kid calls and says, hello, it's like,
hi.
Right. I need a mom.
What is wrong?
Right.
Is everything okay?
Grandma's not breathing right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Grandma fell on my toys.
I got some toys I want to show you.
Exactly.
They're down my grandmother's throat.
Exactly, right. They're at the bottom of the stairs with my grandmother who tripped over it, and now her neck is going the opposite way of her body. You know?
Kids are cute, though.
Grandma broke my toy.
Aren't you beautiful? Yeah.
What'd she do? Well, she tripped over it.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
She's under a bus.
Where's Grandma now? She hasn't said or moved at all in... probably 3 days.
She made a funny sound before she and then nothing.
Yeah, like she knows immediately, this 911 or emergency phone operator, she knows immediately that it's playtime.
It's a cutesy call.
It does sound like that.
Yeah.
You got some toys for me.
Come over and see them.
Hello?
Hi there. We've received a 111 call. I'm guessing it was a mistake, child making a mistake there.
Uh-huh.
And Dad's like, yeah, click.
Yeah, doo-doo. Right.
Sorry, I was in the middle of murdering someone.
Exactly right. Well, the rest of the town's like, you know, people are getting killed and whatnot. He's going, hello? And don't you sound cute? Get your toys.
Right. You have toys for me?
Yeah, toys for me, don't ya? Yeah, meanwhile, someone's getting shot down the block.
It sounds like Sharon Osbourne.
Right.
Oh, it does a little.
Right.
I love it.
You've got some toys for me. Meanwhile, someone got run over by a freaking car, and a guy hit and ran, and everything else. Another person being shot. A bank
so that,
is being
that
robbed.
Hit and run has two elements to it.
Yeah.
One, there's a person laying in the road.
Exactly.
And then the other, there's a bad person driving through the streets of whatever town.
Right, right, exactly. But meanwhile, you're sitting there playing cutesy with the kid. Oh, don't you sound cute with the toys? And then they have a photo op afterwards. I'll be like, no, this is me arresting the kid. You're tired of 911. Why is it different from a kid? If I turn on call 911 right now and say, hey, you got to check out this cool car I bought. Click. I'd be in cuffs. I'd be doing the perp walk, being walked to the Milford police station right now.
Well, the kid is 4.
Yeah. Okay. So the age. Woo. All right. So I'll act like I'm 4 years old. Yeah.
You do.
Every day.
This kid actually speaks better than you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We had Howard on from the amphitheater. And he said that the town, the city, voted that we can have, you can hold festivals and we can go to festivals in Bridgeport.
Yeah, we had a vote on Monday night, and we got permission to have 2 weekends of festivals. It'll be probably 4 nights, no overnights. And the first weekend's going to be, what we used to call a hippie festival, but it's a jam band festival. We'll try to work on that. And then the second weekend will be what we call a festival that will be more, I don't want to use the term that we use in the business, which is AAA, but artists that appeal to an older audience, a 30 to 55-year-old audience.
AAA, what does that stand for?
I have absolutely no idea.
Their car breaks down a lot.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You get a discount.
It's, it's the type of music that
adult
Mumford & Sons, Lumineers, Dave Matthews, NPR music. I don't know.
Adult alternative.
Yeah.
It's like Coffee House.
It's adult alternative. That's what AAA probably
is. There's another A in there, though. Adult.
Awesome adult.
Alternative. I don't know what the other A is.
It's for ah!
Phil's looking
it up.
That
would be O.
Yeah. No idea.
So the first weekend you're saying is going to be... What I love about it is that it's 2 weekends in a row.
Yeah, we thought it would be great to leave the stage up, to leave a lot of the infrastructure up for the week, give the public the use of the park, of course, but at least the areas around the stage will remain. And that will allow us to not only cut expenses, but also keep the prices more reasonable because we'll need less tickets to get out.
Gotcha. See, I wouldn't have thought of that. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's the best time of year, this September. It's not too hot.
Right.
It's not cold. It's just right. What does AAA stand for? Did you look it up, Phil?
I did look it up.
And?
It is Adult Album Alternative.
Is the one we were missing.
I thought the word alcohol was in there. Damn it.
I didn't feel like they used the album too much anymore.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
What's that?
Yeah, so they're talking deeper cuts with that. So adult is, 30 plus. Album is not just the hits. An alternative would be the alternative to, classic rock.
Okay. Top 40 type stuff.
Look at that.
See, it does actually make sense when you think about it, actually.
Yeah.
It does. Because, pop music is what pops on and pops off, in my opinion. One-hit wonders. We don't find that on the PLR Fox playlist. We find artists that are much deeper and have more hits.
Or longevity.
Generally.
Yes.
And longevity. I agree.
My Jimmy. Longevity.
Hey, I'm still around.
Hey, how you doing?
I do want to talk about your show at the Palace Theater, but while we're still talking about these festivals, the first weekend you said it's like a hippie vibe to it. Are there any names that you're rolling around or considering?
Well, we certainly have names we're considering, and we let the press. We got the vote Monday night. We let the press get out Tuesday and Wednesday, and today we start the phone call. So we're having a phone conversation among the partners, which is Live Nation, Howard, and the people that put on Governor's Ball, and we're going to start putting a list together of artists.
Wow.
That we think would make sense, and we're going to start calling their agents this afternoon.
That's interesting, because you're not, it's not like, this band is touring and they'll be in our area around this time.
Uh-huh.
This is you're grabbing bands, all different bands, and putting them together.
Oh yeah, this is fly-ins. This we're going to pay more money for these artists. We're going to ask them to fly in, do our show, and they can fly out and do wherever they're supposed to be. I mean, if somebody's playing, let's just say Arizona on a Thursday, you can't get there here in 2 days. But if you can get on a plane, we'll have the sound and lights and everything ready for you. Come in and play and go back out to the West Coast again.
Is this like putting a movie together? First, you want to get your headliner so you can tell all the other acts, hey, this is the big, this is this, it's a George Clooney movie. Well, you know, you get all these other people involved.
Like an a la carte dinner.
Absolutely right. We will book the headliners first.
So, who do you think you'd be talking to today throughout the
day? Yeah, who's your main course? Who's your main actor?
Well, I can mention types of artists, but, you know, the artists themselves, we have no idea if they're interested. But, you know, I've said it before. It's Mumford & Sons, Lumineers, Dave Matthews, Tim Reynolds, those type of artists that what I consider what we're now calling AAA artists, appeal to the 30 to 60-year-olds, album deep artists. So those are the artists, the headliners, that I would be going for first.
Okay.
And that those would, any one of those names would be a headliner.
Unquestionably, yes. Unquestionably. And then as for the hippie shows, you know, I'm pretty well versed on the older hippie bands, but I'm not sure the older hippie bands work anymore in a festival type atmosphere. So,
Mike, who would that be? Older hippie? Would that be
the
Dead and Company?
Yeah, Dead and Company. Let's just say Fish might work.
Oh, wow.
Trey might work. The band Goose, that's very popular, might work. Again, I don't know their plans. I don't know where they are in September. I don't know what anything like that. But those would be the type of artists that we would try to get on the vibe sort of side. I mean, we're not going to call it the vibes, but it would be similar to the vibes, but much better run, in my opinion, and there'll be no camping, which presented a real problem.
Just talking to you about this is it makes me realize how much harder it is to do this than it is to, you know, book a band at the amphitheater or whatever. Now you're going to have bands flying in from all over, but you also have a whole DNA makeup that's different backstage. These bands generally enjoy each other, the opener and the headliner, and they get along and they know the shtick. Here you have all different types of bands, personalities, and crews backstage. That's a lot to manage, right?
Yeah, it's a lot to manage, and the front stage is very different also because it's a big open field that we have to set up in a manner that festivals are set up today, and that's where I realized that I can't do this. Yes, I've done festivals, Watkins Glen, Woodstock
94. Yeah, like the most famous.
Yeah, the big ones.
Yeah, but they were different then. They weren't like they are now. The 21st century festival is a lot different than the 20th century festival. And Founders does it the best. Governor's Ball is looked at as probably the number one festival on the East Coast.
Wow.
And, you know, they live in Connecticut. So we thought it was the perfect type of marriage, having Howard, who's a great developer, and me, who knows the concert business very well in Connecticut, and these guys that live in Fairfield County and know how to put on a festival.
This is tremendous.
Huge.
It really
is. It's a good partnership. It's a great partnership, actually.
Well, we get this brand new amphitheater in Bridgeport, and then now we're getting these festivals. And Howard was mentioning that each weekend it might start Friday at the amphitheater and then go over to Seaside Park on Saturday.
Yes, it might. We're putting the festival together first, and then we're going to put the Friday night show together.
Gotcha.
But the festival is our main concern at this point.
Right, so there would be on the festival grounds just one night, Saturday night, or would you go into a Sunday night but just an early ending?
You know, we do both nights, Saturday night and Sunday night.
Oh, cool.
Wow, that's great.
As long as we can find enough bands.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Can't find enough bands, we'll do one night. But
yeah.
Hopefully, it is late. I mean, it's already mid-October. And
this is late for next year?
Really?
Yeah, this is late booking. We got held up by the city of Bridgeport later than we thought. We started on this project in July, so we didn't think it would take 3 months to get
government
a permit.
Government. So,
Well, it is government. It's committees, and we didn't realize we had to go through a Parks Commission, and then we have to go through a Contracts Commission, and then we have to go through the City Council. So 1 month, one meets, and then we have to wait for the next month, and then we'll wait for the next month. So it's not the blame game. It's just the process.
Yeah.
It's really the process.
Also, there was this whole pandemic that they were coming out of, so there's that too.
Yeah. So it took us longer than we expected, but we're going to start really, really pushing it today.
Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation is on. We're talking about these festivals that are going to come to Bridgeport next year in September, back-to-back weekends. How do you work out the concert riders when you have 15 acts on one show?
Well,
you tell them, look, this is how
sign.
This is what it's going to be.
You'll get Cheetos.
This is it.
We put a sign up backstage. This is what I used to do at my festivals. Leave your ego at the door.
Right.
Because you're going to be eating the same food that the $750 act is getting, and even though you're a $750,000 act. That's just the way it's going to be.
Quincy Jones put a sign similar to that outside the studio when it was after the Grammys and they were recording We Are the World.
Uh-huh.
And you had all the biggest artists in the world, Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie.
Yeah, all the biggest.
Huey Lewis.
Superstars.
Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan.
Icons.
And he just put that sign on the door. Yeah.
Well, it works sometimes.
You get lucky.
That usually works with most artists, right? Let's all work together. Let's be professional.
Right.
Have you had a time, Jimmy, when it hasn't worked?
Diva?
Well, I will tell you the time, the artist that it works with the best is Dave Matthews. This fellow has the lowest level ego of any superstar I've ever met. So I want to give a shout out to Dave Matthews for always leaving his ego at the door.
I think he'd have to look it up.
Yeah, right. Ego. What is that?
What is an ego?
Is that a waffle? No, it's echo.
Ego. He will sit down next to anybody backstage and start talking to them, ask them about their lives. He is truly a very special person. And that would be one reason I would really try to get him on the festival, because he would set the right tone backstage.
Right.
Always does when we do him at any venue, he sets the right tone.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. The headliners will set the tone backstage. Right.
Yes. He would be my who I would try to go for first, in all honesty. As far as artists that didn't know
how to
leave.
So what time are you making that call today, Jimmy?
Well, it's West Coast now, so it will be noon.
Okay.
I love you, man. I really do.
It might be 11:59. I wish I could make it at 8:55 when we get off the air, because just booking Dave Matthews is a joy. Having him in concert for me is a joy. I do like his music, and it's just so much fun to be with him backstage. He's just a wonderful gentleman in every possible way. As far as artists that aren't, I think of my night with In Excess at Toad's Place. With all due respect to Toad's, it's a small venue. Most artists that play Toad's have not had big careers yet. But Michael Hutchinson of In Excess was a giant jerk and wouldn't even walk the few blocks to the hotel. I said, okay, we'll go pick you up. He says, I want a limousine.
Wow.
This guy's playing to 700 people, and he wants a limousine.
And that's if it was sold out.
Right.
Yes, and that's if it was sold out. And he really, really gave us a hard time with the food backstage. And I vowed that if he ever became a real superstar, he would be hell to deal with. And I did have him as he got bigger, and he continued to be very difficult to deal with. So I would put him up there as probably the most difficult artist, one of the most difficult artists I dealt with.
Well, he was, not anymore.
No,
I have a feeling the only reason you give us that is because he's passed.
Yes.
Like, there's no chance he's going to come to town and say, I don't want to deal with that guy. He said bad things about me on the radio.
And I think his family's over in Australia anyway.
Exactly.
Part of the world. And
yeah.
Trust me, his family knows.
Yeah, really. They dealt with him before. Yeah. It was
Thanksgiving dinner. What kind of turkey is this?
For God's sake, is it a butterball? Yeah.
They might defend him, but soon as you leave and the door closes, they're like, well, all knew that.
Apparently it was the one thing with him.
The nightmare.
Yeah, it's the one thing.
There's a great story about Dave Matthews in Atlanta. He's from Atlanta, and he was riding his bicycle to one of his concerts.
Really?
And the chain broke. And some folks going to the concert picked him up and gave him a ride to the show.
It was actually my show in Albany that that happened.
Wow. Oh, is that right?
That's cool.
I knew it started with an A.
Did you pick him up?
It was my show in Saratoga.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
That happened.
Wow.
And we did, and you're right, his bike chain broke. He got a ride to the concert with fans. They were fans.
Can you imagine?
He made sure that we got the fans backstage. He had dinner with the fans. It was a great story. Just a great story.
And can you imagine?
He was staying in town in Saratoga, and I don't know how many people have been to Saratoga, but it's a bike ride to the venue. And he took a bike. It was crazy. He took a bike. And I said, we'll send a car for you. We'll send you a bus. Because he also likes to sleep on the bus. And we used to have the two or three nights backstage up at Xfinity, and we'd say, you want to stay in a hotel? He goes, no, I'll sleep on the bus.
Okay.
You'd rather sleep on the bus and be in a hotel with room service? Yeah, I'll sleep on the bus. But, yeah, that happened up in Albany. It was really something.
That must be.
All right.
Oh, look, someone needs help. Let's pull over.
Yeah.
That look like Dave Matthews to you?
Can you help me? I'm on a C. I'm on a bicycle.
Sounds like him, too.
But I'm B.
Yeah, so you got to put his bike in the car. You can't just take him.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
All right.
Being fans, they were probably like, hey, man, you like Dave Matthews?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
You look kind of like him, man. You look kind of like him, man.
That's insane.
You want me to tell you, look like Dave Matthews, man?
Oh, God.
When these girls pulled over and picked him up, they had no idea it was Dave Matthews. They just were being good citizens.
Nice.
Yeah, how long did it take them?
He got in the car, and they looked at him and go, you look a lot like Dave Matthews.
Told you.
So what gave me away my face?
What would he be doing on a bicycle?
Right.
Right, you wouldn't put that math together.
Why?
Not at all. Right. Not at all.
They should pay you more.
He is no Michael Hutchinson.
No.
No.
Or whatever
no.
his name is.
Michael Hutchins? Yeah.
Hutchins? Hutchinson, what is it?
Hutchins, I think it was, yeah.
Is it Hutchinson?
Hutchins.
Yeah. Hutchins.
Ugh. God. Mm-hmm. And there was another story about Dave Matthews' bus.
Oh, yeah.
Going over a steel bridge, like one like we had near Sikorsky. The Sikorsky Bridge used to be a steel grate.
The Humming Bridge, yeah.
And you would go over that on a motorcycle, and yep. you can look down and see the water.
Very scary, yes.
But his bus was going over one of those bridges, and they dumped the septic tank of the bus. And there was a boat down below.
Right, of yodelers.
Yeah, that was
that
happened.
Oh, no, no.
Well, it wasn't Dave yeah. who pulled the lever.
No.
Yeah. No. It wasn't even Dave's bus. It was one of the buses in his I guess, caravan.
What about these outdoor shows, Jimmy? Tickets going on sale soon?
Well, we have so many outdoor shows planned for next year, not only because of the shows that we're going to normally planned in 2022, but there were quite a number of shows that were planned for 2021 that got moved to 2022. And so I think we're going to have like a season and a half worth of shows in number. So we're going to start putting shows on sale for next summer, probably next month, so people can afford to buy tickets and not put shows on top of shows and make people have to keep shelling out money almost every week.
You know what I love about that is Christmas gifts. Hanukkah gifts.
You know, there is an advantage there, and you're right. Well, that's actually a good idea. I'm going to keep that in mind. You're right. That's a good idea. It is good Christmas gifts.
Do you see how I just got stunned silence? Wait, good idea.
Right.
Is he being sarcastic?
What? What do you mean by that?
No,
I saw your eyes flicker.
I'm going to use it as my idea. How do you think I got
that? Nice. Good. Look at you.
Well, it's rare I hear that, so I thought you were joking with me.
Right.
All right.
No, it's a really good idea.
Usually,
that's a great idea I thought of.
Usually folks laugh afterwards, though. That's a great idea.
Great idea.
You fool.
How was your thing at the Palace last week?
Oh, I had a blast. They treated me great. I love the people at the Palace Theater. Frank, Sherry, everybody else there.
Great people.
I had a great, great time, and the audience was wonderful, and they really did pack the house, which I was really pleased about, and it was just a lot of fun. I don't make personal appearances. I'm not like you guys, and I'm not used to it, and I'm a bit uncomfortable doing it, but the audience made me very comfortable, and I would actually look forward to doing it a second time. It really was very, very nice.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised that I feel that way.
I was thinking about you that I'm going to bed. I'm like, Jimmy's probably still on stage right now. And I saw the pictures on social media the next day. It was so well organized. They had pictures of the bands from the shows up on the screen behind you as you were talking about them.
And I had no idea they were doing that until I saw it on Facebook the next day. I said, oh, they have stuff behind me. I had no idea.
Well, you're focusing forward. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, no, it was even better than I thought.
Wow. That's great.
I would have liked to have them film it, because I would have liked to have seen it with the pictures behind me.
Yeah.
As you were doing this and through questions and back and forth or whatnot, did your brain uncover any stories that you had forgotten about?
No. It was honestly rehearsed. I wanted to make sure. I'm not like you guys. I can't talk off the cuff like you guys. So I had to know
what
those
week here.
Yeah,
about.
Seriously.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know what you're saying, though. You wanted to make sure people got their money's worth.
Yes.
And I wanted to make sure the right stories were said, and I didn't want to leave anything out. So I rehearsed it among myself, not among everybody else, but I wrote down the shows, what I wanted to say, and I didn't read anything, but I practiced and I wanted to do it right. I'm not like you guys. I'm a businessman. I'm not a performer, so I can't really do it as naturally as you guys can. Oh. It's hard what you guys do. It's very hard what you guys do. I don't think people realize it.
Can you tell my boss that?
Yeah, seriously.
Can you say it louder, Jim? Like 10 more times. It'll be awesome. That'd be great.
And a rough.
It's hard what he does, goddammit.
That's going to be AJ's ringtone now.
Yeah. It's Jimmy's voice.
I think I just fell in love.
This day in Connecticut and our surrounding area, this day in Connecticut concert history. And
yeah.
Other
okay, what should we do it?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. He just said this is hard.
Jinxed us. Hey,
this is how hard it is.
Hey, Jimmy just acknowledged it's hard to talk.
Right, okay? Exactly. So, right.
All right. So,
well, I'm just trying to understand which show you're going to talk about, so I hope I have a story about it. That's all.
Well, I'm saying different states, and normally I say this day in Connecticut concert history.
Yeah.
But in 1972, on this day, you had Cat Stevens.
Oh, cool.
Yes, it was my last time I had Cat Stevens concert, because when he played New Haven, it wasn't my show. So,
oh.
And I'm a giant fan of Cat Stevens. But how about Guns N' Roses at the Palace Theater in Albany?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. The one I remember most is really the Jimmy Page Robert Plant show at the Hartford Civic Center.
That's crazy.
Page and Plant. Yeah.
That's Page and Plant.
Crazy. Yep.
That was a good show.
Yeah. Did you see that?
It was.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was great. It was very, very special. I do remember that show very, very well.
Wow. So what was it like backstage? Were they hanging out together or was it separate?
They were hanging out together, and I got friendly with Robert Plant because of the time I had him in concert by himself in the 80s up in Hartford, and I think I've told this story before, so I don't want to bore people, but I got to meet him that night for the first time through very strange circumstances, and found him to be another guy who leaves his ego at the door, in all honesty, and treated me like I was one of his best friends, and I had never met him before. But he did it because Connecticut Magazine was interviewing me, and he wanted to make me look good to Connecticut Magazine. So I really, really, really appreciated it. I had never met him before, and he talked like we were
Jimmy,
really old friends.
How are you?
Really. I heard he's a very, very nice man. Very nice man.
It was really very special to me, and I've never been that big of a Zeppelin fan, so I couldn't even talk so much about his music.
Oh, wow.
Awkward.
It was very personal.
I met him with you backstage at the New Haven Coliseum. It was Alana Miles.
Okay.
Was opening for him. And this is when it was a Manic Nirvana tour, right? Was that the name of the album?
Yeah, I think it was called Manic Nirvana.
Yeah. So he was just embracing his Led Zeppelin roots again. And it was his first tour where he was playing solo and Led Zeppelin music. And I thought
I remember that. He would put four or five songs in the set, right?
Yeah.
Zeppelin songs into the set.
I remember Misty Mountain Hop. Like, that was the first Zeppelin song he played in his set. And when the keyboards hit, the place went nuts.
Tore it up.
I literally looked at the roof and saw like chips coming down. And I thought the roof is going to fall down. We were going so crazy.
It's really going to blow. Yes.
Yeah. Jimmy Page, Robert Plant, 1995 with the Tragically Hip at the Hartford Civic Center.
There's some clips from that show on YouTube you can find.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this is the first song that they did of the encore, Page and Plant.
Stairway denied.
Awesome.
Hartford, talk to us.
Jeez. Getting chills here.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. What a voice. What a voice and what a guitar, right?
I got goose pimples.
You brought that to us.
Yeah, it was
and
great.
And so many more.
Knew you.
All right, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming on, brother. Appreciate it. East Haven Mayor Joe Cafaro is on to tell us about the town of East Haven's first annual 90-90 boo-boo bash.
90-90 boo-boo!
Hello, Mayor.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Good morning. Thank you.
Yep. We sound lit. We're not.
We're a little punchy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right.
So it's actually called the Boo Bash.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Yes, it is. Hmm. It's going to happen Saturday night here on our town green. Looking forward to it.
I love your green.
Yeah, it's great green. Mm-hmm. Very green.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's nice. It's a perfect green. It's perfect green.
Yeah, it's very green.
Yeah, it's a very American small town green.
Nanny boo-boo.
And they just had that new pretty entrance archway built.
Yeah, we just finished that this fall. It was, it was quite a project, and it came out. It came out gorgeous, came out beautiful.
What'd that cost?
Well, we got a lot of federal grant money with it, and we're getting donations coming in.
Hey, you better watch out
it.
With that grant money.
Yeah, say your receipts.
Ask your neighbors.
Yeah, well,
yep.
Well, we're responsible. We hired a consulting firm just to make sure we don't get any door knocking from federal agencies. So,
yeah, well, didn't the consulting firm get West Haven in trouble?
Well, we... Yeah. I really don't want to get into that.
These are the good witches of the East. Yeah, you want
well, we
the
hired
West.
We hired a real consulting firm. What's that?
You hired a real consulting firm.
Yeah, one that exists in reality.
Business cards and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Nanny boo-boo.
Yeah, we hired a well-known consulting firm from Washington, D.C., actually.
Oh, wow.
So, we're very careful.
I am opening a consulting firm. What the hell? It's like, hey, we're building this thing on our green. Let's call someone in Washington.
I'm like, hey, go ahead.
It's great.
Go ahead.
Did you use COVID money on that?
No, actually, part of this ARPA money that is coming to a bunch of municipalities, you can actually use that money to hire a consulting firm. When this ARPA money came through, it had such strict guidelines on what you can use it for.
What is ARPA money?
It's the American, the American Response Plan Act.
No, ARPA.
It's for municipalities to, try to recover from COVID. So
it was COVID money.
Had a cannoli sale.
Yes. It's more or less COVID money, but it was such, there's such strict guidelines for it that you have to be careful what you spend it on. So,
gotcha.
It was
but
safe
this is how
for
we
us.
Get out of a 100-year pandemic. We build a little archway on a green.
What was needed? No. It's going to keep COVID away. You can close the gate and COVID can't get
I
past
say
it.
Nani-nani boo-boo to
nani,
that.
Nani boo-boo.
No, you could use it for, for strictly outdoor infrastructure.
I got you. That makes sense.
Like parks and
it's outdoors
fields
and infrastructure.
Stuff.
No, because everyone's going to be outside,
right.
So you got to do some stuff for
exactly.
outside.
Make it look pretty.
Yep.
Right.
What did he say, Phil?
It's infrastructure, but it's outdoors.
Right. It's infrastructure.
Outdoor
it's
infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like parks and rec. Parks and recreation fields. You can use it for that.
If you want to come over here and slap him, go for it.
What, for listening to you? You said something funny. We all missed it. He just... That was a good thing. You want that.
I know. I'm just... it's goose boy.
He's just... He's
so
just
we
violent.
Hired this consulting firm. We just want our butts covered.
Yeah.
Know.
How much did the consulting firm cost?
It's actually coming through the bid process right now for services. So I'm not... It's probably... I don't know, maybe $100,000 or something like
wow.
that. I don't know, but it's it's covered by the ARPA funds, so there's no burden on our taxpayers.
So the consultant firm, they read the bill or what you're supposed to the laws of the rules of how you spend this money, and then they look into what you want to spend it on, and then they say, yeah, you could do that.
Exactly.
Okay, so then it's like an accountant. So if the federal government says, hey, you weren't supposed to build one of those, you say, hey, go talk to this guy over here.
Exactly. That's why we did it, because some other municipalities did it too. You know, they went out and hired the same firm.
Well, it makes sense because they make stuff so complicated that if you look at this ARPA, whatever it is, thing,
yeah,
you would need 18 people to break it off into pieces, study it, and then get together in a room and say, this is what I...
We have no idea.
Yeah, you did the right thing.
So. Yes, absolutely. I mean, it was a no-brainer. Plus, it's, you know, we could use the ARPA funds to pay for their services. So there's no burden on our taxpayers either.
You have a feeling somewhere there's a consultancy firm in Washington that says, hey, this is how you have to write this bill. It has to be so damn complicated that no one can understand it. So then they hire us to figure
it's perfect.
They help. This is it. All right, we figured it out. So they... Right, it's so complicated. They help the lawmakers write the bill, right? They make it so complicated that no one knows what's in it. And then it goes to the municipalities, and the municipalities are like, we need to hire someone who knows what's in this. It's like, hey,
well, that's exactly what happened. You know, when we got our first payment from it, you know, everybody was just looking at each other and saying there's such strict guidelines, we didn't know how to use the funds. So I actually reached out to Mike Frieda in North Haven.
Oh, good guy.
Mike's a great guy. Mike is such a great guy. So Mike and his lawyers sat down with us, and, you know, they found this company in Washington, D.C., and all of us put our heads together, and we got kind of a, you know, like a joint package between us
deal.
And North Haven. Yeah. So,
well, the last thing you want to do is get pulled into some office with the feds, like, why'd you spend this money like this? Like, I don't know. Read this thing? No one can read it.
Man, I thought it was cool.
What so, I was told you. Is it is infrastructure, but for outdoor. I don't know.
But out the...
Well, there's such strict guidelines, like I said, that you know, no one understood it. So, you know, we had to do what we had to do because they're giving us this big trench of money. And
how much money did they give you?
East Haven received $4.2 million in August.
The hell of a game.
And then, yep, and then we're going to get another $4.2 million next August.
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Yes. So.
Wow.
Can I get in that?
Wow.
Now that's a chair, right?
Yeah, he needs a new chair.
You should spend some of that money on a little oil can.
Yes.
A little WD-40.
Yep. Like the Tin Man.
East Haven Mayor Joe Cafaro is on. But here's, this whole trip makes sense now, right? Because you want to be outside with people. You want to get people back together. You want to have events. And now you're having one on the new East Haven Green this Saturday.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to be a great event. Capped off with the Rocky Horror Picture Show movie at 7:30.
Cool.
So, yeah, we're pretty excited about it.
Yeah, there's pumpkin decorating, obstacle courses.
Are you going to dress up?
Fun for the whole family. That's a great question. Mayor?
Yeah, I might dress up.
What do you think? What do you think?
You
what
have
you
to.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. I might dress up as Tattoo on Fantasy Island. You guys know I'm 6'7".
Yeah, right.
That's
think I could pull that off?
It's a big-ass tattoo. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you think I could pull that off?
Yes.
Your head could hit the plane.
That's great.
Well.
No, but we're looking forward to this event. So.
And you're going to have a DJ, too.
Cool.
And it's free.
Yes, we are.
Nice.
And it's free for
you. You guys coming by?
What is Saturday? Saturday?
The 23rd.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, this Saturday, I don't know what I'm, I have dinner plans with a couple of friends.
I'm doing a comedy gig.
Yeah. So we are, no. Ashley?
No, I'm going to be out of state.
Really?
Yes.
Like consciousness? Or?
Boy, does that sound like she just made that
yeah,
up.
I'm gonna be,
yeah,
I'm going to be out of state.
I'm going to,
my mom's calling me. Yeah.
I'm traveling. I spend so much time in.
Yeah, okay. Phil?
I'm also going to be out of state.
Okay. Well, you guys, you know, you're always welcome to
thank
come,
you.
Thank you.
Come by
it.
Any event we have. So, and Ashley, I got your invite for the toy drive.
Great.
But you're not going to make me sing again, are you?
You were so good the last time, Mayor. I don't know.
Oh, God, I was horrible.
No.
No, as far as you know.
No, but you know, horrible is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you could goof on me for the next few days.
Yeah.
All right, you know us.
I'm getting this information here that Captain Murgo with the East Haven Police Department will be performing dance moves on stage as the DJ plays.
Nice.
Oh.
At this
oh.
event.
Cool.
I'm suddenly back in state.
Look at you.
Captain Murgo's a great guy.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yep.
All right, East Haven Mayor Joe Cafaro, thank you for coming on.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.